Though he was rich, yet he became poor. The human poverty of Jesus is seen in the story of his birth. I suppose it's the story we know best of him. But there really was no room in the inn for this Jewish boy who was born in the backwoods and who really couldn't be fitted in. Tony's going to read to us two of the stories from the Gospel, one about the birth of Jesus and one about the time when he went home. And we see he really was a nobody.
The first comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Second reading comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that's been given to him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offence at him.
Thanks, Tony. You see, Jesus was a nobody. A hometown boy, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we know his brothers, we know his mother, he's a carpenter, he's a nothing." He owned the universe and became a nothing. You read about his poverty in the hymn we're going to sing, number 107. It's a famous one, but we'll just sing verses 1, 2 and 6, three verses this time, the first two and the last verse of Once in Royal David City. And there you'll see he's associated with the poor, the mean and the lowly. Shall we stand and sing together, number 107, verses 1, 2 and 6.
"Made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him."
Poor indeed, the maker of the world, rejected by his own creatures. The king of Israel, rejected by his own nation. And he was worse than that. He was reviled and despised and killed mercilessly. We read of it in 1 Peter chapter 2.
"He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed."
Yes, he is treated so poorly as to die, and to die for our sins, trusting God, who actually made him to become sin. The absolute abject poverty of Jesus is seen in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul wrote these words:
"God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God."
God made the sinless one to become sin for us. And as he hung on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have you deserted me? He was the one who owned and ruled the universe, who made it, who was the heir of the God, who had everything. And yet he not only was born in difficulty, he not only lived rejected by men, he died because of our sin and was cast aside by his eternal Father. He became poor for us. Hymn number 96 is not a carol that we often know well, but we know the tune well, and it's worth singing and getting to know. And how about Ray leads us in prayer in praising God for Jesus.
Father, we hardly know what it is to see your glory and your splendour and to live in fellowship with you forever. And yet, Father, you sent your Son from that position that he might become man like us, that he might take upon himself the form of a man, that he might live and experience all the things that we experience. And we praise your name, Father, for the fact that you are so gracious as to identify yourself with us in this way. And yet, Father, we recognize that our Lord became a man in order that he might die. And, Father, we cannot comprehend the distance is from the fellowship he had with you to the distance of the cross, where he cried out in despair at the loss of that fellowship. And yet in faith, Father, knowing that you were with him and sustaining him, Father, we thank you for his grace and his mercy to us in that he was willing to die, to die that death in our place. And Father, we praise you for his birth, for that birth which led to Calvary. And Father, we just pray that you might make us understand it as you see it and as our Lord himself experienced it. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, why such poverty? Why should the King of the universe become the one who is sent to hell? For our sake is what our verse says. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that we who are poor may become rich. It's for our sake that Jesus did this. And why? So as to rescue us and ransom us. Warren has a couple of verses to read, which are actually memory verses, but we won't test him out. The first one's about the ransoming. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, which speaks about the coming of Jesus and his purpose.
For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
He came to give his life as a ransom for many. We read about hijacking today. It's a fairly common event, I'm very sorry to say. We can understand the concept of someone paying a ransom to rescue slaves and captives. Jesus did that for us, to rescue us as hijacked peoples, to come to pay a ransom for us. The next one is even more famous in John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
You see, he gave his Son that we may have eternal life. Who may have eternal life? That all who believe in him may have eternal life. That is why he came, to give us freedom, to give us life, and to give us many more things. Listen to them in the first chapter of John as we come back to that reading once more. It's in John 1, 12-18 this time. And listen to the many things that Jesus gives to us.
But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me." And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Okay, now for the comprehension test. What are the things that you heard that we get from Jesus coming there? Yes, I asked a question that wasn't rhetorical, just for a change. What were the things we get from Jesus? Sorry? Truth and grace come from Jesus. Yes, thanks, Daniel. Yes, what else? Yes, in that passage we hear about it in certain terms, don't we? We become the children of God. Yes, we're given the chance of a rebirth, of a new start. And we receive all of God's graces. As the NIV translates it, we receive one blessing upon another from God, from Jesus. For all the blessings of God are in Jesus. And so through Jesus we have rescue from Satan and from sin. We have eternal life. We have rebirth. We become the sons of God. And we have all the blessings of God showered upon us. Little wonder that Charles Wesley and company wrote hymn number 112. Hark the herald angels sing. Because in verse 3, it talks about Jesus and his birth. I'll get you to look it up before we actually come to it, and I tell you the point. Verse 3, hymn number 112. We couldn't miss this one this morning, could we? And verse 3, and you'll notice the last three things it says about him there. He is born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing. How about the men sing verse 2 alone, and we'll all sing the other three verses together, shall we? But it'll just be the men only on verse 2. It's lovely singing, by the way. Isn't it beautiful singing? It's lovely to be with people who enjoy singing to the praises of God. So let's stand and sing this one together.
Father, we thank you for your great goodness and kindness to us in the death of our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that he was willing to experience that in order that he might bring a new people together. We thank you, Father, for your grace towards us in offering us salvation and freedom, in offering us mercy, in offering to turn us from the kind of people we are in Adam to the kind of people we can become in Christ. We pray, Father, that we might know your forgiveness, that we might truly look upon you and upon the death of our Lord and understand the mercy that you have poured out towards us, that we might truly seek to serve and to follow you and to receive that life which you promise in Jesus. Father, we praise you for your great goodness towards us in offering us salvation in Jesus. And we pray, Father, that we might always have cause to praise him as we serve him as our Lord and Saviour. And we pray this, Father, that he might glorify you in bringing to you many sons into glory. For we pray this in his most precious name. Amen.
After our, yes, that last hymn is a real copper, isn't it? Yes. After our service this morning, we'll be having a cup of tea or coffee here in the church, and if you're a visitor amongst us, we do hope you'll be able to stay and share. It's not only tea and coffee, I understand there's something else there as well, but we don't talk about food on this day. Well, Jesus Christ was rich and became poor for our sakes, that we might become rich. Well then, how does the verse start? Let me read it to you again. You know, says Paul, you know the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that he has become poor for you, so that you may become rich, you know that, then you know how generous our Lord Jesus Christ truly is. For he was rich beyond all splendor and cried on the cross, my God, why hast you forsaken me? As he passed into hell, because I sinned and because you sinned. Then you know the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if that is the case, you can't help but want to sing his praises. And so we come to the Christmas reading. I gave Russell three to read, but I actually only want him to read one. It comes in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, and you'll notice that as soon as the announcement of the birth of Jesus takes place, the whole heavens burst forth in song. And as a result of reading this passage, we're going to have to sing two carols. One's not good enough. Thank you, Russell.
Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Little wonder that Christians can't help but sing carols. Because when we come to talk about the birth of a baby, it's not the birth of a baby we're singing. Why, there's all kinds of babies. Michael and Ellen had a baby just last week, and she's arrived in church for the very first time, a whole 9 days old. Right there is a baby. That's worth singing about. That's why he blows the trumpet so hard these days. But that's nothing. This is not just the birth of a baby. This is the one who was rich beyond all splendour, who had come and become impoverished for you and for me, that we may become rich. And the angel burst forth in song. The first Noel, number 117, I think it's one the children know very well, isn't it, the first Noel? Why don't we get all children in school or below school who would like to venture out to come out here and sing it, the first verse for us, and we'll all join in verse 2 and the last verse. So if you're at school or below school, or if you just can't help yourself and you want to admit to it anyway, why don't you hop out here out the front and sing with us? Oh, there's none. They've disappeared from sight. We won't embarrass them. If they, any of them like to sing it for us? We won't embarrass them too much. We'll just enjoy it with them then, shall we? We'll sing it together. I wouldn't want to put it too hard on the fellas. 117, the first Noel, and I understand that some of the ladies know that descant part in the chorus, don't they? Hands up those who know the descant part in the chorus. One, two, three. Is that all? Four, oh, you must be able to burst louder at that. Even I can sing it. Two octaves below where it should be, and a little flatter. So if you know it, give it a try, won't you, on the choruses, as we sing 117, the first two and the last verse.